All right, well, let's get started.
Okay. So when this comes out tomorrow, it will not be 15 years. But when this comes out on our actual page, you look like a weirdo, Tamara. Like,
I'm playing peekaboo.
Very distracting.
Okay, I don't see a baby. I see a baby. I don't see a baby. I mean, let me send you a picture.
But anyways, so when this comes out, tomorrow.
Hold on, let me interrupt you real quick. Okay. When I went to go send a video so you didn't think I was crazy, she took off.
Anyways, today on our actual regular page, when this comes out in April, it will be the exact 15-year mark. Like, I'm going to have it come out on the actual 15-year anniversary.
That's pretty cool. But I don't know what it is, but the fact that it's like right there at the same time is pretty cool.
And how I do our Missed Mondays, I normally schedule them out. Like, I do one, I waited 6 weeks before I posted the first one, then it comes out every first of the month. This one just lined up to where, not on purpose, but whenever I was writing down the date and trying to figure out where it would come in line, happened to be the first year or the 15th anniversary. I'm like, oh,
crazy.
And I didn't even do that on purpose. But there's a lot of odd things to this case of the disappearance of Brian Schaefer. It is very odd. You'll kind of see here in a second why I feel like it's odd. But Brian Schaefer was born on February 25th, 1979 in Pickerington, Are you looking at the note?
No, I don't know where to find the notes. I was looking, but it's okay. I won't be correcting you today.
Well, I wanted you to help me out with this Ohio town. I feel like it's called Pickerton.
We're going to say Pickerington.
That's what I thought too. So in that town in Ohio, to Randy and Renee Schaefer. He was the oldest boy, and he had a younger brother named Derek. During high school and during college, Brian had this band. Like, he wanted, you know, kind of like me, he wanted to be in a rock band, to be famous. I don't know what instrument he played. You know, like, I'm dreaming that he would be the bass player like I was with the, you know, cherry red bass. But, you know, anyways, he graduated from his local high school in 1997. Then he went to OSU for his undergrad. 6 years later, he graduated with his degree in microbiology. After that, he went to Ohio State College for medicine in 2004. During his second year there, his mother died of, and I Googled this word so I could remember how to say it, and now I done forgot, but it's...
Let me try. Myelosuppose? Mm-hmm. That's my attempt to say it wrong.
It's I'm not even going to try to say it now.
Melanoposa?
But I had to Google it to figure out how to pronounce that. And then I had the pronunciation down pat. But basically...
Pronunciation.
Huh?
Pronunciation.
Yeah, I said that wrong.
Yep. You pronunciated pronunciation wrong.
But anyways, it is a cancer of the bone marrow. So his friend and girlfriend Alexis said that he appeared to handle his mom's passing pretty well, considering, you know, like, it's the death of a parent, but it was hitting him hard. I just imagine that he kind of, I guess, handled it like me. You know, where around everybody, I try to be fine, you know, like.
Or daddy, not mama, because we still have mama.
Yeah.
I know in the notes you said, like, you took daddy, but you're talking about a mom, so I'm just letting them know.
Yeah, I'm saying like how I felt when our dad passed is probably how he felt when his mom passed. He like tried to be strong, he tried to be hard, and you know, fight around everybody else, but it's your parent, you know, type thing.
Right.
But we're going to fast forward to 3 weeks after his mom death, because that's when the real story kind of takes place. On Monday morning, April 3rd, 2006, Alexis, Brian's girlfriend, was standing alone in the airport. Brian and Alexis was planning on a trip down to Miami for spring break. Alexis spoke to Brian on a Friday night before their trip, but the rest of the weekend she wasn't able to get a hold of him. So I can imagine how frustrated she was trying to get those last minute details about where you're meeting, what time you're meeting. You know, like, are you riding to the airport together? Are you just meeting at the airport? And trying to get everything lined up for the vacation. So the only reason that she wasn't with him right before the vacation is she went back home to Toledo, Ohio, to visit her family, which is about a 2-hour drive. So spring break started, she was like, I'm going to go see my family before we go on this trip, and I'll meet you. So that morning, she was hoping he would show up at the airport for their vacation and they could forget that he, you know, completely blew her off all weekend.
She's like, you're about to be stuck on me. I don't care if you ignore me. So just get ready.
You know, girl was salty. It's like, excuse me, why are you picking up your phone? Why are you ignoring me? She was thinking maybe he just needed some time, but he would not miss this vacation because a rumor was he was going to pop the question while he was down in Florida.
Oh, he done ran. He ran far. She was thinking he was going to propose, and he's like, she isn't ready. Oh, my gosh. This is perfect.
What?
Yo, just wait.
Okay.
Just wait.
Okay. So, where was I at? So, their flight was about to take off, and Brian was nowhere in sight. And I have in my notes, Miss Tamara, there are two types of people that go to the airport. Ones like me.
No, ones that drop you off.
Ones like me, who even in small airports like ours in our, you know, area, who like to get there 2 hours ahead of time and just kind of sit there, relax, chill, check your Facebook, go get something.
And then me, in a smaller airport that likes to get there 10 minutes before so you're not sitting around people you don't like trying to help you out. And then you miss your flight because it took off early.
Whoops. Yeah. And then I have those who like to run in the gate last minute. But like I said, I'm one that likes to get there a little bit early, unless Tamara's dropping me off. So she was getting a little nervous, a little anxious. Where's Brian? She kept trying to call him, but he still wasn't picking up. And it wasn't like Brian to ignore Alexis all weekend. And it wasn't like him to miss his flight. She knew something was very, very wrong. She kept thinking back to the last call that Friday. He sounded completely fine. He told her that he loved her. Nothing seemed wrong. So she decided that she needed to call Brian's dad, Randy, to see if he knew anything, if he'd seen Brian. So Randy goes over to Brian's apartment to look for him. Everything looked fine. His car was outside the apartment. His bed was made. His school books were in order. And Tamara, if I go missing and my bed is made,
Anthony covered it up.
Well, I have somebody covered it up. We're not going to say my husband.
No, you ain't did it. And guess what? I made my bed this morning.
I don't make my bed unless
like freshly clean. And okay. Then feel like complete.
If I wash my sheets, that is the only time it gets made. And then we're that weird couple that, like, before we get in bed, we'll straighten up the sheets. So if we're not getting into bed and get attacked then, our bed is not made. But anyway,
I don't use the flat sheet to have to make that up. We just get that to the side and use comforter.
But other than that, his apartment looked basically normal, like it would any other day. But there was just no Brian. So his father called the police and reported Brian missing. During this time, Brian's brother Derek was finding out, thinking that maybe this was just a bad joke, because Brian last went missing. The last time anybody seen him was on April's Fool's Day. So he's just like, this is just a joke, right? Brian is this 6'2", 160-pound guy. Who is going to kidnap somebody like our husband's
son? That's what I was kind of shocked about, that it was a disappearance of a man and not April or Alex that you kept calling Alexis.
They're all trying to figure out his last movement. So Alexis talked to him Friday night. Randy, his dad, remembers seeing Brad Friday night, and they had steak dinner. But they started to realize the more everyone talked to each other, the last time he was seen was the early hours of Saturday, April 1st. Brian ended up going to a popular bar near campus on High Street called the Ugly Tuna Saluna, where he would meet up with his old classmates.
Ugly Tuna Saluna.
Is a classmate, William Clint, but he goes by Clint, so that's what we're going to call him from now on, is Clint. Tamar, this place, and I think I have it somewhere later on, this place would be like our place. It's no longer, they tore down the original, but they do have a Tuna Saluna too.
Remix! Tuna Saluna remix! I had to add that in there.
So, this place is known for their cheap drinks and their loud music. So, of course, I had to Google this place. I got the whole, like, city tavern vibes. And their slogan kills me. It's a shell of a place to get shucked up, was their slogan.
Oh, that tuna getting, the tuna getting you, huh?
So, I even saw some pictures. They have this, like, fishbowl drink, like you had at one of your works. And it had tons, I mean, tons of straws. Probably, like, 5 or 6 straws in this drink. And then it had gummy fishes in it.
Ew, them things be hard by the time you get to them.
Well, I was just like,
I know, they do have those drinks where they'll put nerds. And I can hear her music playing in the background.
I can hear it now. I'm
surprised because it's loud. So they'll do the nerds at the bottom as like the fish decorations, like in a real fish tank, and then put the liquor in there and everything, and the eyes where you can barely see the eyes. And then they'll put the Swedish fish in there so it looks like they're in a little aquarium.
I've never seen one of those before. I like nerds in my slushie, so I may go for that.
Well, there you go. To me, that's just too much.
See, that's my type of drink. But let's see. As I have in the next sentence, that's my type of drink.
You already know.
I have, that's my type of drink right there. Colorful and crazy straws and candy. So Brian goes out. He invites his brother Derek and his girlfriend to come out too. But Derek and his girlfriend went to a comedy show, and they were just ready to go home. They were tired. 10 o'clock, Brian calls Alexis to check in. They talk a little bit, and then he goes back in to the Ugly Tuna, which I just love that name. Ugly Tuna Saluna. After a few drinks, Brian and Clint decide they're wanting to leave, and they're going to head to some other bars in this area. Tamara, at first, whenever I looked at a map of like where all they went, I'm like, what in the world? That is like huge distances they traveled. Okay, I don't know if you can see this.
Yeah, it's a map with a red dot.
It's like they started at one dot and went all the way to the other, went back. But then I was just like, I feel like we've kind of done that, but it just looks like a huge distance. But when you think of like our downtown area, so I'm like, okay, I guess that's not too bad. We would have traveled that far type thing. So they go to another bar and then they meet with another friend named Meredith. The three of them go back to my new favorite place, the Ugly Tuta Saluna. And at some point while they were there, they got separated. Clint and Meredith were together, but Brian somehow disappeared. You know, kind of like if you go to the bathroom, you grab another drink, no biggie. The two were just thinking, he'll come back in a second. But at this time, he did not come back. Last call was called. The lights are coming on. Clint and Meredith are looking around for Brian, and he's nowhere in sight.
Today's podcast is presented to you by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space, so you always know how much you're going to get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today and become a member and immediately be contacted with advertisers to fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And make sure you add our podcast in the How Did You Hear About Podgo section of the application.
They called his phone and they checked the bathrooms, but Brian was nowhere. They waited outside of the bar for a little bit, but when they realized he's not coming out, maybe he walked home. And apparently he lived just a few blocks away from this place, so it would not be uncommon if he would have just walked home. His friends are nothing like me because they're just like, okay, he must have left on his own. He's at home. Cool. And
well, I've always heard Keenan, anytime he would ever go out and he was just ready to go home, he would just leave. He wouldn't tell anybody bye. So whenever we started dating, he was like, hey, I'm just going to go out to see a couple friends. And then he like called me or something and he was like, hey, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And he was on the phone with me and he's like, I'm leaving. So I guess it's not that crazy for me because I hear about it. And, you know, that's something that he did. He just like, I didn't want to be there. So I'd go make an appearance and then just disappear.
Yeah, if he didn't tell me, we could not be friends because that would just piss me off. But his friends are nothing like me because they didn't worry. And I'm like, I would want to know, like, maybe that's more of a girl thing. It's like, y'all come together, y'all leave together, make sure safety in numbers type thing. But they didn't even worry the next morning when he wasn't picking up his phone. They're like, oh, well, he must be hungover. He's still sleeping. No biggie. When everyone came together after they realized Brian was missing, they put it all together that no one has actually talked to Brian all day Saturday. Well, not really all day Saturday. Saturday, when people are actually up and about, and all day Sunday. This trip that they were taking was supposed to be extra special because not only, you know, was it a break from school, a break from life, him popping the question, this was a gift from his mom. And I think she got him this gift around Christmas time. It was like a Christmas present. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure I've seen that somewhere that it was a Christmas present. And I'm pretty sure from the little bits that I've heard of his life and different stories and YouTube videos that I watched, I feel like he was kind of a mama's boy. Not knocking on mama's boy, but I feel like
most are though.
Yeah.
I mean, your husband is, my husband is. Nothing wrong with that because I feel like they better husbands because they know how to treat a woman. So,
amen.
To you.
So, where is, okay. But his mom was a nurse too. Like, she was his whole inspiration of going into this medical field, going like this direction in life. Alexis stays at his apartment for a couple days, hoping that Brian would walk through the front door at any moment. She went to social media begging all of Brian's friends to spread the word and to keep Brian in their prayers. So police decided to go back to the Ugly Tuna to trace Brian's steps from that night. And guess what, Tamara?
They didn't have working cameras.
They did. But they're crappy quality. They're crappy qualities. And this is where it gets really weird.
I didn't see that. All I said was, they had working cameras and he was on them.
So let me show you this picture. And you can kind of see the horrible quality. And I will post this on our stuff. But do you see the quality of...
Oh, that sucks. I had to unmute it for a second.
Okay. So this is a picture that I'm about to refer to in a second. So around 1:15 a.m., footage shows Brian riding up the escalator to the Ugly Tuna. And I'm like, what? They have an escalator that goes up to a bar? But see, I'm just, I feel like if I was like drunk, and I don't get drunk anymore, I feel like, because escalators kind of freak me out, you know, like when you're getting off. So I can imagine some like funny stuff happening, like people like over jumping and falling, and I just feel like an escalator in a bar does not,
it sounds dangerous. Does it begin your pants together. Or shoelaces caught up in the belt, man? No wonder they done got shut down.
So
and remixed.
So I'm on the nose. So you can see Brian is standing in front of Marinette and Cliff, and then they get off the escalator, and then they're off the frame. And that was the picture that I showed you, like the three riding up the escalator. And I'm like, how in the world can you tell that's Brian, that's Meredith, and that's Cliff? Because
how can you tell it's an escalator?
That's about all I can make out of that picture is the escalator.
Okay, well, you're showing it to me over a camera, so it just makes it look worse. Your quality, you don't even look like...
I look like I'm about half dead.
Well, no.
Yeah. From what I saw in the video, nothing looks odd. It's completely horrible quality, but nobody's drunk. Everybody just looks, you know, just casual. Like, I would have never known that they were riding an escalator up to a bar if the police footage didn't say,
going to a bar.
You know, yeah, basically. The second time we see Brian is on camera standing near the escalators outside the bar with two girls named Amber and Brighton. And these were friends of, I think, Clint's. And he was like standing around talking to them. At 1:57 a.m., Brian was barely seen in the corner of the frame of the video. Brian walks back into the bar to use the restroom before they close. After a minute or two, he walks off, and it looks like he's walking back into the bar when he walks out of the frame of the video. But all we know is when Brian, Clint, and Meredith walk out, Brian is nowhere. Cops have security tape so they can see, like, when he goes in, but they can never spot exactly when he comes out of the Ugly Tuna.
Is there a pretty tuna, too?
I don't know.
Anyways, continue.
And they never see him on any of the footage again. You know they are watching this video like a man and two times. They're watching it fast. They're watching it slow. But they never see Brian come out of the Ugly Tuna.
So have they looked in coolers? Have they looked in kegs? Have they looked everywhere inside?
I don't know about kegs. I didn't even see them. We might have a break in the case.
We should be detectives.
The only other way he would have left the bar would have been through an emergency exit or a delivery door in the back. I watched a YouTube video about the case, and they kind of like walked behind the building, and they pointed out like what doors they thought he could have came out and showed all the doors. I'm pretty sure I seen four on the backside of this building. There could have been more, but they only showed four doors. One of the doors, they believe he exited more than others. I don't know why they believe, like, ooh, out of these doors on the back, if he would have came out this way, we believe it's this one. But that's what they said. That's what they're going with. Who knows? So they pulled video from all the places to see if Brian made the strange decision to exit one of those ways. And again, he's not on any footage. So they're like pulling cameras from like other businesses, other places, other streets. you know, just cameras, and he's nowhere seen.
So he's probably stealing the ugly tuna.
So yeah, so you gotta factor in, like, have you ever watched You, yes.
The Netflix You?
Yes.
What if they have, like, a secret dungeon down in the bottom? Like, these are things they need to look for. Find secret passages. Try to pull up the floor. He's in that tuna. He's in the ugly tuna. And it's not too pretty.
What if he's in an actual tuna fish? Like, the actual fishy fish.
What if they cut him up and served him like tuna?
Ugh. Anyways.
That's one's ugly.
That is why. It's very ugly. Very natty. So when you factor in all those, if Brian left, no matter which way he went, he should have been seen. Whether he went out the front door, he would have been on that camera. If he would have went out one of the weird exits, he would have been picked up on, like, one of the sidewalk cameras, on one of the other business cameras. He should have been seen leaving this place. Even though cops weren't able to spot Brian during the footage, they were able to use the footage to find out exactly who was in the bar that night, and they reported every single person that entered the bar that night was accounted for and left, except for Brian. So he literally vanished into thin air somehow. Like, poof. And I hate that term, vanish in thin air, because no one just vanishes in thin air. Somebody either took them, somebody either killed them, or they either tried to escape from their life. You don't just vanish. You don't just go poof, like a magician. So all this comes down to is either Brian left on his own or somebody did something. So, do you want to know a few of the theories that could have happened?
Well, yes, I was going to read them for you, but I just see one bullet point.
You only see one bullet point?
Okay, wait a minute. Okay, never mind. So, it says a bullet point and then it explains it?
Yes.
Okay. I'll see if I could do it without her interrupting. If not, okay. I'll let you take over. Maybe Brian walked away on his own. Because he was so overcome with grief of his loss of his mother. How many times have we seen what grief can do to a person? You can be 100% okay 1 minute and then just devastated the next. There's nothing about grieving process that is rational.
Okay. And I don't know if I told you this story or not.
I don't know if you can hear the kids outside. That sounds like an exorcist. The kids are like, ah! Like, directed outside or something.
I don't hear them. But I don't know if I told you about my experience after Daddy died in, I almost said the Ugly Tuna, but I have never been to the Ugly Tuna in Texas Roadhouse, have I?
I don't think so.
Okay. So, one night, me and Anthony went for date night, and we were leaving. Well, it wasn't date night. It was just dinner time. So,
you ain't got to cook.
So, we were leaving, and this was, I would say, within, I don't know the exact time frame. I feel like it was still kind of like Christmassy decoration. I know it was still cold. So in between, I guess, January, February-ish, after he passed away.
We're walking out. 3 years ago, like last week.
I know. And we walked out,
it's,
you know,
like, December when it's recorded, because other people's going to hear it in April.
Yeah. So, I'm perfectly fine. Had a good time. We're walking out, and we're, like, in the little, you know how they have it, kind of little hallway areas that you walk through between the booths. And I get behind somebody, and at first, don't think nothing of it. But when I see this person and, like, literally lock eyes with the back of his head, the body frame of this person, the person's haircut, the way they were walking.
I know what you're going to say, and nobody can look more like him than the Jinjin. I know. The Dozo guy. I quit going to Dozos.
Yes, but this guy, like, face, I don't know what his face looked like, but just the back of his head, how he hunched when he walked, how he walked with the limp, made me think that was Daddy. And I turned to Anthony and he looked at me and my eyes got watery. Like, I didn't even have to say nothing. And then I legit like had a panic attack and I pushed the guy out of my way and ran out of Texas Roadhouse like,
you're like, Daddy, ball. Move. I know you're not Daddy, but Daddy, move.
In full ball, like, cried, panic attack. And then I got in the truck and I'm like, I don't even know. I'm crying. And he's like, it's okay. I know why. Just breathe. It's okay. But because I was fine up until that point. But it was just like something is. So I can understand like his grief, you know, just 1 minute fine, the next minute not.
His mom was in bad shape before she passed. It didn't happen overnight. Going through what we did, I can see how it could really screw with someone. Definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times did we talk about moving away before Papa?
You remember?
I know we used to say all the time, hey, we'd move to Florida if, you know, Papa, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, like after Papa passed, yeah, we'll all move to Florida. So we're saying, like, a theory is this he could have just picked up and went off. The next theory.
Did his friends be involved? Police talked to both Clint and Meredith pretty early on the investigation. Meredith doesn't know anything about what happened to Brian, and when they asked her to take a polygraph, she agrees and she passes. Clint, however, refuses a polygraph and then got his lawyer, hence to your Facebook post.
Yes.
According to his lawyer, he has nothing to hide and felt that he already told the investigators everything he could. But just understanding how you interact with the police and refusing to take a polygraph will make you look suspicious, definitely. Mm-hmm. After this, Brian's brother, Derek, said, I don't know Clint very well, but I always thought something was off with him. And the way he talked about my brother after he went missing, kind of in a negative way. I wouldn't expect that from someone whose friend vanished. If Clint knew something, I hope he would have shared it. I deserve to know. Another theory that involves Clint. People say if Brian was really planning on running away, he probably would have helped. You got to think he was Brian's oldest friend and old roommate. Maybe he helped him leave and disappear, but that's why he was being so odd about it. Maybe he is protecting his friends and making him look guilty, but it's just a theory because there's nothing that links Clint to Brian's disappearance. A freight elevator?
Freight.
Look, this is tiny writing. Tiny. I don't have my paper. And I'm pretty sure you spelled it right, too. It's just so small. I don't have my glasses on. Another way he could have exited the ugly tuna was through one of the other doors out back. There is a freight elevator and it leads to construction site. So it could have been super easy for Brian to stumble into this area if he was drunk or tipsy. He could have fallen or has something
sinister
happening in that area. He was submerged into water. Randy Schaefer was so devastated that he consulted a psychic. The psychic told Randy that Brian's body was submerged into water, held down by the whirlpools formed at the base of concrete bridge posts. Since Brian lived less than a mile away from the river, Randy would go out looking. The smiley face killer.
This is saying we've had a few requests about it, and this case, this story, this killer is in the works. But that's going to be sometime in 2021.
All right, there you go. I did not write this, so I don't know all your side notes because you didn't put it side note. You just put the smiley face killer. So stay tuned in 2021 for the smiley face killer, whatever that means.
You need to go to basically.
Where's basically?
After we, or under we.
Where's we?
Under Smiley Face Killer.
Oh. All right, so we're still on Smiley Face Killer, which you'll find out more in 2021. But basically, a number of young guys were found dead in bodies of water across several states from the late 1990s to 2010. That's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But every day, Alexis would call Brian's cell phone and it would go straight to voicemail. Well, one day she called and it rang.
So she said, ring, ring, ring.
Here's two things. Either they done disconnected the phone and switched it over without telling her, or somebody done found a phone and was like, oh, let's see what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Wish she would have done if somebody, like, answered it.
I would have pooped my pants again.
Again? When did you do it the first time?
You remember our last story?
I'm kidding. I don't even remember our stories, like, what order. We do them so out of order. If there's a ring, there's a ping. So the family reached out to the Singular Phone Company. That's old.
I had to Google it. And I'm like, Singular?
What? It's now AT&T.
Is it? Yes. I was wondering who they switched to. Okay.
All right. They found the phone pinged off of a tower outside of Columbus. Just in case you don't know, that's where the college where he goes was. Is in Columbus, Ohio. The problem is his service provider says just some kind of computer glitch, go figure.
Did she fall?
She's learning to run and she ran. She goes, she ain't mastered running yet. Anyways, and there is no activity on his phone since the night that it went missing. Not only has his phone not been used, but his banking account, his credit cards, and all of his stuff is totally untouched. If Brian is still alive, he hasn't touched a penny of all of it. With no new leads and every tip turning out to be either a vicious hoax or a dead end, gradually, the case goes cold. By 2008, there haven't been any new leads in years or trace of Brian. Just that same image on the tape. I'll let you sum up the case.
Basically, they're like, are we looking for a deceased person? Are we looking for a living person? Because they're having to do this investigation as both. They don't know if he's dead. They assume he's dead. But they don't know if he's alive either. So they said that makes the...
Huh? You know, but his family didn't give up and just after 5 years rule him as a missing person and give him a funeral. Carol Baskin.
So I have a few updates about Brian's family and his girlfriend. Do you want to hear them?
Just drinking my little sippy cuppy cup.
Okay. So Brian's dad, Randy, was killed in a freak accident on September 14th, 2008, when a tree branch fell and hit him during a windstorm.
Talk about a freak accident.
Yeah. So the strange part about Randy's death is you know how like you have the obituary in the newspaper? Well, you know how you can have them online, like through a website. Okay. So, on the obituary website page, a mystery comment appeared saying, Dad, I love you. Love, Brian.
Yeah, but that could either, one, be him or some sick humor, like, trying to be funny.
That's what it was. So, the comment showed that it was from the Virgin Islands. After cops looked into it, it was posted from a public computer in Franklin County. In Ohio. His brother Derek still blames himself for not going out to the bar that night when he went missing. He thinks like if he would have went, would things have turned out different? Would Brian still be with him? But now Brian has got married to the girl that he went to the comedy club with and considering everything, he has moved on. Whoa,
you just said Brian got married to the girl.
Derek. Derek, the brother, got married to the girl from the comedy club.
I was going to say, oh, he done found Alexis.
No, we wish. But the two of them got married, and considering everybody in his immediate family has passed away, he says he is doing good considering. And Alexis has also finished medical school. She became a OBGYN, and she practices in her hometown, and she is now married with some kiddos.
Well, there were some happy endings to it, and then obviously some that's not.
Yes.
But you ready to lighten this up with a dum-dum of the day, which is conveniently, like, irrelevant to the story?
Yeah.
I'm glad I did not send you the link of what I was going to do. All right, are you ready? Because you're going to laugh a lot, and I got to hurry up because they're blowing up my phone. I was supposed to be there 30 minutes ago. And then now. So, woman sues boyfriend for not proposing after 8 years. Oh, so when he said that they were saying he was going to propose and he like disappeared. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is perfect. Just wait. So, yes, this woman sues her boyfriend for not proposing after 8 years, not putting a ring on it. Put this man in court. A story first reported by the Kenyan News, so I guess in Africa. But the story gone viral globally for this ridiculousness. I don't even know how to pronounce her name, so I'm just gonna leave them out. So she got tired of waiting for her boyfriend of 8 years to propose, and the father of her child. So she wanted him to propose and decided that she wasn't going to waste her time and just decided to do a criminal degree. So she took him to court. So she went to school for criminal justice. So she decided to sue him for not proposing.
So if Anthony would have waited any longer than what he did, I could have sued him.
I guess so. But it
did she win?
Not only for, okay, so the reason she tried to sue was for not only fiddling away the years of her life without proposing to her, she has also alleged to have promised he would, but also for texting another woman.
She's like, I'll show you that cheating on me.
You're going to propose me? You're cheating on me? I'm taking you to court. But it doesn't say if she won or not. But if after 8 years he not proposed and he texted somebody else, dump him. Yeah. Don't be a dumb dumb and show up globally. Because you will end up on our dumb dumb of the day.
I would say give her a benefit of the doubt. You know, if he wasn't messaging other girls and cheating, maybe he's just taking his time. You know, 5 years. But
that was only 2 years.
Mine was five.
Wait, no. Mine was a year, and I was married in 2 years.
Mine was five.
Yeah.
He was just making sure that I was never going to change worse than what I am now of, you know, no cooking, no cleaning.
Yeah, you couldn't get no worse than that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's our dum-dum of the day.
That is. So tell them where they should find us at.
On Facebook.
At TCWI Discussion Group.
She's saying bye. On Instagram.
At TCWI underscore podcast underscore.
On our Patreon page at
Patreon.com/thecrimeswereinto, or you can go to the link on our website, which is thecrimeswereinto.com.
All right. Well, before we have screaming baby or me, my phone blowing up again. Bye.
Bye.